Mitch Marner is one of those players that is being talked about a lot today by Leaf fans.
He's basically a point-a-game player in the playoffs in his career. So for all the talk of the struggles, you know, he still has produced pretty nicely in the playoffs, even in the losses.
Mitch, even last night, you know, didn't get on the sheet, but you know, there's a few plays that he made at different times to advance the puck and get us out of trouble. I think that's important.
I don't think it's like an intimidation thing. It's not Boston. Like, I think Florida last year, that was just like a degree of physicality that was hard to deal with. That's not the case right now. I just think he's having a hard time finding the puck and finding touches in the offensive zone. And so until he does, he's not, you know, they need him to.
I'd like Mitch Marner to say, you know what, that second game in Boston, that was the Austin Matthews show. Well, guess what? I was born in this city. We're coming home tied 1-1. I haven't been at my best. I will be the best player on the ice in Game 3 because he's fully capable of that.
It's hour 3 of First Up. You're listening to TSN 1050. It's brought to you by LeaseBusters, Karolnik, Koliakovo, Jeff O'Neill, throwing heat on overdrive last night regarding Mitch Marner.
Great advice.
Fantastic advice. And the advice that the O-Dog dispelled after game number one on this very radio show, the Maple Leafs took to heart and performed in a much better fashion in game number two, winning the game 3-2 on the back of Austin Matthews largely. And with regards to Mitch Marner, not his best performance so far through two games, has been held without a point in those two games. He was the only Leaf to be on the ice for both Bruins goals in game number two, including that goal at the end of the first period where David Pastrnak made it 2-1 Boston. But tonight's a new night, and I think more so than anything, as much as the Leaf fans are pissed off at Marner's performance through two games, sure, be as angry as you want to be. But the fact remains, it's 1-1 in the series, and a positive outlook, which is what I would encourage Maple Leaf fans to have this morning, is that the Leafs are tied 1-1 with Boston, heading home tonight, game on TSN Radio, by the way, with Marner being held pointless, and with William Nylander not having played a single second. So there's a lot of reasons to be feeling really good about this hockey team heading into tonight's game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, great opportunity for this group to build on the momentum they gained in the last game. And we talked about it yesterday, about all the streaks that came to an end against the Boston Bruins. Now, you know, it's about finishing the job, right? Get an upper hand in this series. Go out and find a way to get a big win tonight in front of your home crowd and keep the positive momentum going, especially now that you've got a two-day break coming up here. Because the last thing you want to feel during a two-day break is people saying stuff in the media like the Toronto Sun front page did after last game, right? Or anybody else having critical things to say about this group. You want to, at this time of year, you want to put yourself in a position where you're feeling good about yourself. And there's no greater opportunity than tonight to feel great about yourself than going out and getting a hard-earned win in front of your loyal fan base. Because that's what they are. They're loyal. They're passionate. You know, they bleed blue and white because, you know, that's what they've been taught to do growing up, is become so obsessed with this team that sometimes it takes over their lives. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, especially at this time of year, because you're so invested in it. But for the Maple Leafs, like, last game's over. It's done with. There's no need to sit there and relive it and, you know, think that that's going to be the game that takes you over the top. It's all about this game right now. Boston's saying it and saying, hey, that's just a loss. We still have a fun. We can still find a way to come out and play our best hockey. We got our better goaltender in net tonight, but they've got the guy who's got the better record against the Maple Leafs, and yeah, they probably feel good about coming in here and getting a win. And the Maple Leafs have to plant that seed of doubt right from the start. Get the first goal of the game. Keep the crowd in the building. Play with the lead. Let Boston change the way they have to play because of, you know, the way they need to play, chasing the game versus the other way around, where it always seems like the Leafs are always chasing.
It's not seems like that is the case,
it's
right?
Been the case.
I mean, yeah, the Leafs were leading late in the third period after Matthews scores on the breakaway to make it 3-2. But aside from that, there was not a single moment in this series between these two teams in which the Leafs have been leading, aside from late in the third after Matthews scored. So yeah, go out and get that first goal. And I think it's so important to keep the crowd engaged. Not that they will become disengaged if Boston scores first, which, again, has become very common between these two teams. But for the Leafs to go out and get that first goal, I think it would be a huge statement tonight. And considering the, and I would call it the likelihood, that Nylander does indeed suit up tonight, that is an added dimension that the Leafs bring into this game and this series that I think for Boston is going to be very tough to match up against. Like, you heard Jim Montgomery, the Bruins coach, who, I mean, I've been very critical of. I do not think he's done a very good job at all in this series.
And people want to sit here and criticize Sheldon Keefe.
I mean, Jim Montgomery. Okay, here's what I would say about Jim Montgomery. Again, Boston had 135 points last year. They won the President's Trophy, one of the best regular seasons you'll ever see.
They also choked out in the first round.
They did choke. They were up 3-1 in the first round, lost the series. They have Pat Maroon on PP1. The guy played two regular season games. Imagine Sheldon Keefe had Ryan Reeves on PP1. People in Toronto would be melting down. So forget about Keefe. Don't be critical of him. I mean, Keefe's not the one who's going away from his goalie with a .962 save percentage against the Toronto Maple Leafs in four games this year. I mean, I think what Boston and their coaching staff is doing.
Well, they also
nuts.
Didn't have Brad Marchand on the power play late in the game.
Craziness. Oh, yeah. We got to have Kevin Shattenkirk out there and Pat Maroon out there trying to tie up the game. Listen, the Leafs are blessed here to have a team they're playing against that is doing some very questionable things. And we'll ask Andrew Raycroft. He's going to join us in about 7 minutes. His perspective, maybe it's different than mine, but the way that Boston has ran out their lineup, whether it's goaltending, some of their forward decisions, the power play decisions. And then yesterday, and I want to cue up this Brad Marchand clip if some of our audience has missed it. I mean, Brad Marchand is, like, I don't know if he's campaigning to be a Toronto Maple Leaf at the end of his career, but it sounds like it. This guy is Mr. Maple Leaf, the biggest supporter of Toronto. Let's take a listen to what he said yesterday.
They're playing a really good playoff type game right now. You know, you knew they would. They're built different than in the past years. They're playing a lot more physical, very committed to forechecking, playing very tight defensively. So you got to give them credit. You know, they're one of the top teams for a reason.
Maybe the slash that Tyler Bertuzzi inflicted on Marchand is scrambling his brains, although he did hold his wrong leg.
Well, was it the Domi slash or was it the Bertuzzi slash?
I mean, maybe a little bit of both. But again, that's Brad Marchand pumping the tires of the Leafs. And I just can't understand a lot of the logic that's coming out from Boston here. And if I'm Toronto, I'm looking around in the room like, what's going on here? Are we in some bizarro world where Jim Montgomery is calling Auston Matthews the most dangerous man on the ice? And then you have Marchand pumping the tires of the
strategic,
Leafs.
It's all strategic, buddy.
It's just
strategic.
So fascinating what's going on. And I don't know what that means for tonight's game. Maybe we see something completely different from Boston. Maybe they load up the power play with, I don't know, their best players, as opposed to not having McAvoy and Marchand on the power play. I'm like, I'm watching this and I'm like, I can't believe how fortunate the Leafs are. And it's not like Boston's power play has been performing poorly. It's not. But at the same time, like, I feel
it's been a big reason why they was the big reason why they won game one.
Exactly.
You know,
at the same time,
reason why they were close in game two.
It's also they weren't able to tie it up, and that power play they had at the end of the game in game number two was terrible. And again, because they didn't have their best players on the ice, at least in my belief, is a big reason why. So there's a lot of reasons to be positive. Again, Nylander, Chrissy, I don't know if you have the clip of Chris Johnston ready. We'll play that for you a little bit later this hour, where he talks about Nylander. There is a lot of optimism with regards to Nylander's availability tonight. Again, we have nothing definitive. Be great if Nylander was able to return for the Leafs. That would give them a massive boost offensively. And I think more so than anything, the ability to either roll out three lines of high-quality offensive players, or at least in times, load up that second line. You have Matthews, Domi, and Bertuzzi, and you could have Marner, Tavares, and Nylander together. So good luck to Boston trying to defend that. Let's play a little bit of what CJ said in hour number two.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we didn't. You know, just given the fact that we saw him skate a couple times in Boston, and you know, just how hard it is to miss games at this time of the year. I mean, I would think that it didn't seem to be too grave a concern around him, I would say, internally anyway. And so, you know, I do think there's a high probability you'll see him on the ice here today.
There you go. That's CJ earlier in hour two. And if you miss any of our conversation with Chris or any hour of First Up, make sure to subscribe to the First Up podcast, wherever podcasts are found. Also, great guests like Andrew Raycroft. He's going to join us on the other side. We'll get the Boston perspective from Razor. His thoughts on the goaltending battle tonight, which we anticipate to be Samsonov versus Swayman. This hour, First Up, is brought to you by LeaseBusters. The keyword for Leaf Tickets Game 4 is coming up this hour, and we'll announce the winner of tonight's tickets as well. So don't miss a second of Hour 3 of First Up as we roll on TSN Radio.
We can't let him get in behind us. That's the most dangerous man on the ice you have to, you know, be tighter with, but it's... He's the most dangerous man on the ice because he's earned it.
They're built different than in the past years. They're playing a lot more physical, very committed to forechecking. You got to give them credit. You know, they're one of the top teams for a reason.
Jim Montgomery, the coach of the Bruins, and Brad Marchand, the captain of the Bruins, ahead of Game 3 tonight in Toronto. The series tied at 1. You could hear tonight's game on TSN 1050. I'm Aaron Kurolnik with Carlo Koliakovo. Man, that Bobrovsky save last night. I just saw it again on SportsCenter. Absolutely unbelievable. You know who it reminded me of? Our next guest. Andrew
many saves like that.
Raycroft. I mean, he would have just caught it. He wouldn't have gave up a rebound. That's for sure. Let's bring him in. A longtime NHLer, now with the New England Sports Network. It's Andrew Raycroft back on First Up. Good morning, Razor. How are you?
Morning, gang. You're right. I would have been out of position like Bobrovsky
exactly.
was. I would have had to exactly. make that kind of movement right in the chest, right in the crest.
No doubt about that. So we've been talking a lot this morning, Razor, about how the Bruins are praising the Leafs, unlike anything we've heard before. Brad Marchand talking about how they're a changed team. Jim Montgomery calling Austin Matthews the best player on the ice, essentially. And I think perhaps both of those are fair assessments, but are you surprised that Boston is being so transparent in their praise of Toronto so far?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Toronto played a great game the other night, and it's certainly, you're not going to get any bulletin board material out of these guys at this point. They've been around the block more than enough to know that they can't stir the pot, especially when the two of you are parsing every single word anyone's saying. The yeah. Toronto media, they know, listen, the Bruins know they can't mess around with anything when it comes to media-wise. And at the other hand, it's true. I mean, Matthews was great. I mean, they're not making it up. He was fantastic in game 2.
Oh, he was. He was the biggest reason why they won that game. But in speaking of some of the stuff the Bruins are saying, what is the media, or at least what are the fans in Boston saying when it comes to some of the decisions they've seen Jim Montgomery make, in particular with their goaltending, but, you know, even in times of the game, you know, late in the game, there's no Marchand on the power play. Some of the decisions that they've made with their back end players, Patrick Maroon being on first line PP. What's the reaction around some of the decisions Montgomery's made so far?
There's no issues with any of that, to be honest. So with the goalies, we'll see how long this rotation can go. I am not a rotation guy. I've been anti-rotation since the start of last year's playoffs when people were saying, well, they do it in the regular season, they need to do it in the playoffs. I don't agree with it. I don't think it should be every other guy. I think it's matchup based. I think it's day-to-day based, and you don't have time to tinker in the playoffs. So I would have went back to Swayman. That doesn't mean, you know, I don't necessarily think that I'm right, because Allmark played great and kept the Bruins in it when they went down from 6D to 5D. That really, really changed the game and swung the momentum for the Leafs. With the power play, it was really bad, the last month. They move things around a little bit. I'm kind of like you, Carlo, in that I don't think it sticks. I would find a way, especially and unfortunately with Coyle going to the blocks, that kind of messed things up for the Bruins the other night, because that unit was the one scoring the goals against the Leafs in the first two games. But with Coyle in the box, Marchand shift out there. I wasn't surprised to see those guys out there, but I can see how an adjustment will get made on the power play as the series goes on. But I think over the first two games, they were going to stick with it because again, the power play was so bad prior to moving guys around.
Andrew Raycroft is our guest from Nesson, the Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. As you can imagine, Razor, our man Mitch Marner here in Toronto has taken a lot of heat, pointless through two games. And as much as Matthews is being
weird,
praised,
Razor? Weird.
Matthew, well, you played here. You know exactly what this media market is like. What have you seen from Marner through two games, and do you think the criticism is justified so far?
I said to a few people when Marner went after the media about the ankle injury or whatever it was, when he kind of lashed out, with just a normal question. What was that? Like 3 weeks ago?
Four weeks ago?
He's done. I literally said it to like four people. I'm like, I've been there. I've answered a question like that in that market, and that guy's never coming back from that. And so I think we're seeing some of that right now. He can score goals and they can go on and win. But I don't think he's not coming back from that comment. No one's going to forget it. Everyone's always going to go back. Every game he doesn't get a point, they'll go back to him having a bad attitude for some reason. And when he scores, they're going to say he should have done it because he makes $10 million a year. So, it's unfortunate for Mitch. He certainly wasn't good the first two games. It was hard to find out there at certain times. That doesn't mean he can't get three assists tonight and he can't get 4 points in game four because he has that kind of talent. But from my point of view, and just watching how the media's kind of switched on him and then doing this in the playoffs, this isn't going to go away even if he plays great the next little while. This is sticking with him.
Razor, goaltending's getting a lot of attention in this series, and both Swayman and Ullmark have played good, but do you think that Samsonov has played just as well as those two guys and as even the playing field when it comes to goaltending?
I think he made the huge saves in game two that were necessary. That one in right at the start of the third period was a monster save on Marchand. The few saves at the end of the game, like I thought he came back from. And I didn't think he was bad in game one. I know there was some narrative, he wasn't that well. I don't know how much opportunity he had to make some of it. Like he didn't make a big save, but he also they weren't freebies.
Right.
So he did a really good job bouncing back, making the timely saves. And I think that's what he is, isn't he? Like I don't see him as a Vasilevsky or a Bobrovsky. I see him on a team that could score goals. He has to make a timely save, and he's going to do it with athleticism. Now, he has to do it consistently. Has he put enough preparation through the regular season? Can he stay inside of his net? We've seen a couple times this series where he's gotten outside of his crease and pulled off of his post and let that backside play up. So I think he makes timely saves. He's athletic and he's a gamer. That's how I see it. And are the Bruins going to make adjustments around that? And is he going to stay consistent through the series? But I think he's going to make big saves, and I think he's ready for it. He's a gamer.
Andrew Raycroft, our guest here on First Up. So the Bruins are going to make at least one lineup change tonight on the back end with Peak out. Do you anticipate anything additional with the Bruins as far as maybe the forward group? I guess the goaltender will change as well with Swayman going back in. But Peak's injury, maybe some other changes for Boston tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do on the back end. I think they might make another change, and where that comes from, I'm not sure. I'm curious what their plan was going on the road. That matchup changes. The third line for the Bruins, Geeky, Frederick, Lauko, didn't do a whole lot in game two. I'm curious what they want to do up front. James Van Riemsdyk sat out the first two games. Does he find his way back in on that line just to switch things up? That's really the only option that I would see possible, because the fourth line's been so good and the other two lines aren't changing. So I'm just curious more about the matchups, what Toronto does and who they put out there and what those adjustments are throughout. So I don't expect wholesale changes. The Bruins aren't going to panic after losing one game.
Razor, I know you're in the building for game two, and we had the Leafs fan that caught the puck in the third period on our show this morning. And he was.
Oh, that's it. Is he a Boston guy or a Toronto guy? Or?
So he's a Toronto guy that lives in Boston as a, and he works as a doctor. So he was there at the game as
a Leaf. That sounds about right. All of my doctors are from Canada.
There you go. There you go. They're all leaving Canada. Weird. Wonder why.
we'll get into that later, Carlo.
Yeah. So I'm curious to know, if you came into the Scotiabank Arena and you caught a puck, do you think fans would cheer for you, or you'd get just abused by boos?
Like me in particular, or me like in a Bruins jersey? Me in particular. I wonder that. I'm sure they would, like, Mitch Marner's always going to get booed now, and I'm probably always going to get booed. That's a good question. Like, I do wonder, though. Like, I do because no one's, like, Carlo, you know this as well as anyone. Like, no one's ever said anything to my face in Toronto, ever. Like, ever. I know I've been booed in the building, but I've never, like, I still go back in the summer and I see everyone, and everybody always says they love me as a Leaf. So I don't know who the people are that boo me, and I haven't found them yet. But I do know they're out there. So I am always curious if I did go back and they put me on the screen, if I would get booed or if people would.
Nah, man. You'd get cheered, man. People love to hear. Yeah. People respect their Maple Leaf players. Just don't wear anything Boston. You can wear something Boston, you're getting booed.
I believe me. I never. I don't wear a jersey here. I don't wear jerseys anywhere. I just kind of do a job. But that guy, so it's funny because I have another buddy. I don't know if I have time, but I have another buddy here from Toronto that was a goalie, played college down here, and now he lives in Toronto, and I saw him at the game, and usually has his daughters with the Leafs jerseys and the whole thing, but all he did was wear blue the other night. He didn't wear jerseys. Like, game two, I am not wearing a Leafs jersey in this house. So the guy who did wear the Leafs jersey and caught the puck had big cojones.
He did,
on a Monday night in Boston.
Yeah. Well, you see all those videos, and we talked about this earlier, of just the fights breaking out, including Jokic's brother in Denver is just beating the crap out of some guy in the stands for who knows what. But it's dangerous.
Playoff hockey, man. Fans are into
it. Right. Just as much as the players, the fans are into it. Razor, great to have you on the show as always. One of our favorites. Thank you for doing this.
You got it. We'll keep chatting over the next week. Have fun tonight.
You got it, pal.
That's
you too, man.
That's our man Andrew Raycroft from Nesson. And he's the host of The Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Mm-hmm. I mean, Razor, his history in Toronto is well documented, part of a rather unfortunate trade. But at the same time, it wasn't his fault.
No.
He won the Calder Trophy, did he not? Didn't Razor?
Yeah.
I'm quite sure he did.
With his first year in Boston.
Exactly. And Toronto wasn't the best, but great teammate. I mean, you guys loved him.
Awesome teammate.
Yeah.
Awesome teammate. And look, I mean, like, those were tough years in Toronto.
Very much so.
You know, it's sort of like how I reflect my career in Toronto, where, look, I loved every minute as a Maple Leaf. I always go back and reflect and say, my only regret in Toronto is I wish I would have played on a better team, and I wish I would have played playoff hockey. And we were close. We were very close. We were a Wade Dublevitz save away from getting into the playoffs, and I would have been able to experience that moment. And because we didn't, you know, again, there's you go back and reflect on those years, and it's unfortunate that Raycroft was part of a Tuukka Rask trade, who turned out to be, you know, one of the best goalies in the league for the Boston Bruins during his tenure there. And the Maple Leafs have forever been scarred by, you know, goaltending in this city up until recently, where you've had Freddie Anderson, you had Jack Campbell, you know, now they have Ilya Samsonov and Joseph Woll to look forward to. So times are changing here in Toronto.
Man, this team in 2006, 2007 that you played on with Razor, what a squad. I mean, Sundin was still at the top of his game, a point-of-game player. The O-Dog was on the team. Darcy Tucker, Paul Maurice behind the bench. Razor played in 72 games that year.
I know.
37
Who was the backup?
Wins.
Was it Telquist or Aubin?
It was Aubin. Telquist only played one game. But yeah, J.S. Aubin, I remember him very well. Yeah, Razor, .894 save percentage. But he was in the net. This guy was available. It's a big part of the equation.
I'll never forget that game in Buffalo. And it's literally the reason we didn't make the playoffs. We were up 4-1 in the third period, and we lost 5-4 in regulation. And I think that was the same game that Brian McCabe scored in his own net. And it was the game that, you think about it, if we got that one extra point in that game, we got that game to overtime, we're talking about us playing Buffalo in that first round of the playoffs, not the New York Islanders.
What could have been?
So, yeah. What could have been?
And well, I remember
the front page of the newspaper the next day. It was like Razor looking at, I think it was Razor, it was the goalie looking at McCabe, like as McCabe's throwing the puck in the net. And
Not the best, to quote Louis Domingue. What is the best is giving away Leaf tickets. We will announce our winner on the other side. And the keyword for Game 4 tickets is to come in this hour as well, plus Craig Button, our director of scouting here at TSN, the Leafs and the Bruins, his thoughts on Vancouver's chances without Thatcher Demko, plus a wild one in Winnipeg as the Avalanche tie it at 1 in the best of 7 series. Hour number 3 continues. Craig Button in 10 minutes. We'll also announce the keyword for Game 4 tickets, Leafs Bruins on Saturday night. Oh, that is a piping hot ticket. And the winner for tonight's game in Game number 3, we'll announce those in just a moment. I just get a lot of DMs on Instagram. You and I send different videos and such, generally about golf or making fun of different political figures. And I just got one from Frankie, and I'm wondering, I'm like, who else does he send these to? Or anybody, right? You know, like you get a video from somebody, you're like, who else was the recipient of this video? And I guess, I mean, you and Frankie and I are close. We are messaging all the time about different stuff. But I'm always thinking, whenever I get a DM on Instagram, some kind of video or a post, and I'm like, who else is receiving this? Why am I part of this esteemed group that receives these videos? So I'm always like, uh-oh, who else am I looped in with here? So,
well, I told you back a while ago that I used to have people flood my DMs constantly with, like, reels. It's like they literally sit on their phone all day, and whatever they watch, they just feel like I need to see it too. And I'm like, can you please stop sending me so many of these reels? I don't care. And you know what? I probably see all of these before you do anyways. Please stop sending me this. Stop flooding my DMs with this stuff. And look, sometimes people send me stuff that I haven't seen before that, you know, could be newsy or could be, you know, talk worthy, but
Generally, for the
most part, it's like, please, just stop.
All right, yeah, so Craig Button in less than 10 minutes. We'll also talk to the voice of the Maple Leafs, Joe Bowen, at 9:15.
Are you allowed to share what it is that he sent, or no?
Oh, I mean, it's not that good.
Golf video?
No, it wasn't a golf. It was a classic Italian thing, like about Gabagool, really. It's Sopranos. Like, I'm just like, who else is he sending this to? Anyways, TSN 1050 is putting passionate Leaf fans in the stands to see the Leafs and the Bruins in round number 1. It's time to announce our winner. The winner is Kyle O'Brien from Oshawa, Ontario. You are heading to Game 3 tonight at Scotiabank Arena.
Hey!
How about this story from our guy Kyle? He moved to Korea to teach kindergarten. He would play the Leaf games in his classroom on a big screen because of the time difference. Games would be on at 9 a.m. over there. Hell of a teacher, Kyle. So not only is Kyle a diehard Leaf fan, but because of him, there are dozens of Korean kids who grew up Leaf fans too, spreading the passion all across the world. Kyle O'Brien.
This guy's an influencer.
He is. Maybe, like, you know how the NHL plays games in, like, Stockholm, Sweden? The Leafs were there. Yeah. Maybe some games in Seoul, South Korea.
He could be a brand ambassador.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Well, one thing he will be is at the game tonight.
Yes.
So congratulations.
He will be
to
a
Kyle
fan
O'Brien.
Ambassador is what he will be tonight.
And he'll need to keep an eye out for you on the Jumbotron going full Jason Kelce, minus the beers, because we are professionals. Attending on the behalf.
I gotta call my boy Wayne Robbins, and I gotta get him to bring his luchador mask.
Wayne will be down at the game tonight. No,
hell yeah,
for sure. We'll see.
Dude,
Jack from Uxbridge.
This is the time of year he wears his jersey. He wears his luchador mask. He goes full fan mode for playoffs.
Car flag, maybe.
Wayne's definitely a car flag guy.
A car flag guy.
He's a golf cart flag guy too.
That's true. It's time for today's keyword for Game 4. Screen is today's 8 a.m. keyword. You have 10 minutes to text screen and your name to 10-50-50. Again, do this right now, people. You could win tickets for Saturday night. 10 minutes to text screen and your name to 10-50-50. Tell us what makes you a diehard Leaf fan on Friday morning.
Holy. Buddy, you just see the text line just blow up right now.
So again, 10-50-50, 10 minutes to text the name, the word screen and your name to 10-50-50. On Friday, we'll be calling a devoted fan with a pair of tickets to game number 4. Again, keywords are announced every weekday within the 8 a.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours here on TSN Radio. So the more you listen, the better your chances of winning the tickets. Standard message rates apply. Full details at TSN1050.ca. So we want someone from First Up, one of our listeners, to win. I guess if they listen to Gameplay and Overdrive, you have just as good a chance. But again, the name, the name and the word screen to 10-50-50, and you could be seeing the Leafs and the Bruins on Saturday night. And, you know, tonight's great, but it is still Wednesday. You know, I got to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Saturday night down at Scotiabank Arena in the playoffs, oh, and
no
the weather.
Place to be.
Supposed to be 20 degrees, too. Just unbelievable stuff this weekend. Yeah. Hopefully the Leafs are up 2-1 heading into Saturday.
Going to get into full golf mode.
Likewise. Golf and
starting
the Leafs.
Starting tomorrow.
Golf and the Leafs. That's how it's done.
That's how it's done.
Let's hope that's the case.
Yes.
For a long run here into May and June. Craig Button, TSN's Director of Scouting, our good friend, is going to join us on the other side. Joe Bowen in 30 minutes. Oh, what a show. What a morning. It's Game 3. It's on TSN Radio. It's in Toronto. And we'll be back with more after this. Again, and congratulations to Kyle O'Brien from Oshawa, who won the contest to win Leaf tickets. I mean, doesn't get any better
lucky
than that.
Guy.
Very lucky guy. He just texted it at 10-50-50. He's thrilled, as he should be. Leafs Bruins tonight on TSN 10-50.
He didn't leave his name, but it said it's from Oshawa. And he said, hey, I just heard my name on the radio. Yeah. Love it. Go Leafs, go.
There's not that many people live in Oshawa. Actually, there are tons. And Kyle O'Brien is one of them. He's also our winner. We are winners this morning here on First Up because we are fortunate enough to be joined by one of our favorites. He is TSN's Director of Scouting. It's our guy, Craig Button, back on First Up. Hello, Craig. How are you?
I'm good, Aaron. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Now that I'm speaking to you, Craig, you know I'm good. You know I'm good.
I'm sure you say that to everybody.
We all get better in life with a little more Craig in our
life. I agree. That is my motto in life, actually. So let's start with the Leafs and the Bruins, Craig. And, I mean, very different games. Game number one was dominated by the Boston Bruins, a 5-1 win, although the score maybe not representative of what actually transpired on the ice. And then a very close game number two in which Austin Matthews just took over, scoring on the breakaway. That was the decider. What type of adjustments do you think both teams are looking at ahead of game number three tonight?
Well, I said one of the things that I thought that the Leafs did a really nice job of, they got behind 1-0 and then quickly made it 1-1. And then when that goal got scored at the end of the second period, or at the end of the first period, rather, you know, 2-1. And I thought the Leafs came out in the second period and just kept playing. They just kept playing. Sheldon Keefe was interviewed on the bench. And one of the things he talked about was, we just got to keep playing. We got to keep playing. And I thought the Leafs did exactly that. Then they have the goal and they have it disallowed, the high stick by Bertuzzi. They come right back and score again. I thought that, you know, one of the things I thought they did, they never got deterred. And in the playoffs, are going to throw you a lot of curveballs. They're going to throw you a lot of different things that can sink you. And you know, the other team starts to jump on it and starts to think they can. And the Leafs never succumbed. And I think that was a really good sign. Obviously, they, you know, Austin scores the goal, you know, in the latter part of the third period. And, I mean, he was really good throughout the game. But the Leafs as a whole, they stuck with it. They did exactly what Sheldon said. We got to stick with it. We got to keep playing. And I think when you're playing a good team like the Boston Bruins who stick with it, you never know when you're going to get an opportunity. But sometimes by trying to force an issue, you create a vulnerability. I thought the Leafs after 2-1 never did that. I thought they did a really good job of just keep playing and keep playing. And everybody kept playing. Obviously, you know, Austin is a top player in the league. He's a top player on the planet. So when you start, when he starts to be able to get a chance like that, well, you're expecting him to finish it, and he did. But the Leafs, I really thought, just kept playing and kept playing and didn't expose themselves. And you don't want to create vulnerability. I thought the Leafs did a really nice job of it. So you asked me about adjustments. I mean, one thing I think that the Leafs have to be really, really aware of, and when you think about the second goal that Boston scored, like, I know they're an offensive team. I know they can create some offense. But that play at the end of the second period, at the end of the first period, I mean, they basically have three guys ready to jump beyond the blue line.
And play
Zacha
offense.
Zacha makes that play between the legs. Yeah. You know, it's the last, like, don't create a boom, it's in the net. Don't, just be a little bit more patient. You know, look at the game, right, Carlo, and just say, that's what will give us success. You know, the Leafs have more than enough capability to beat the Boston Bruins. So the first thing I would say, don't beat yourself. And I think that they did a really good job of doing that in the second and third period. So for the Bruins, you know, I don't know. Like, I keep saying this. I don't know if they have enough skill to take advantage of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So if they can't take advantage of the Toronto Maple Leafs, don't create vulnerability. Don't give them life. Don't put oxygen in their tank. And I think the Leafs, if they play with that mindset, then they'll be just fine. If they want to play with the idea that, you know, they're going to create the vulnerabilities, they'll be in trouble. So that's what I think they got to do. And I'm not so sure the Bruins, you know, like, again, have enough offense to be able to really, really be able to get a leg up. And forget about the first game, 4-1, empty netter. Bottom line, Leafs can handle the Bruins. I really believe that, and they showed that in game two.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people said the same thing before the series started, that this was a more favorable matchup for the Maple Leafs because you look at their roster, they can match up better against the Boston Bruins than they would have against the Florida. And I think you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right when you talk about being vulnerable. You look at the goals the Leafs have given up, they're all self-inflicted mistakes. You eliminate those little mistakes, and we're talking about maybe a different outcome in two games, or, you know, a different result in those plays. Thankfully, the last mistake they made was Bertuzzi taking that penalty on Marchand, and they found a way to get a big kill, which is obviously what you're going to need to do too. But Craig, looking at the coaching in two games, who do you think has done a better job coaching the team throughout the first two games in this series?
Wow, that's a, you know, trying to put my thinking cap on just as you asked that. Again, I think Sheldon being really patient and really trying to just emphasize, here's what we got to do. And I thought he was really good after game one. He talked, you know, like, I thought that he pointed out the areas. You know what? There was some careless high sticks. There were some penalties that shouldn't have been taken. And we got to be a little bit better in terms of the self-inflicted wounds. And they came out. When you're trying to make adjustments, and Carlo, you've been in the dressing room thousands of times when the coach comes in and says, here's what we got to do. At the end of it, the players have to embrace it and say, okay, yeah, he's right. So I think what was encouraging from my point of view, watching the job that Sheldon did, was that the players said, okay, you know what? At some point in time, and this is where I think that the message has to, I don't think it's so much about the coach getting the message through as it is about the players taking the message and saying, he's right. And do we want this to be the same old story again? You know, it was interesting, and I think we all saw it. And, you know, after late in game one on the broadcast, when they started playing the same old song and dance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from Aerosmith. That was not by accident. Somebody put that out there. Right, and at some point in time, you got to say no, enough. We're not gonna do this. We're not going to be victims anymore. And I think that the players really took that upon themselves and did that. Now you're right, Carl. You got to be coming in here and saying we got to make adjustments. We have to not take penalties. I'm talking about the adjustments on the penalties. You're not going to run the Boston Bruins out of the rink. So just play it straight up. Play hard. Play tough. Pay a price, give a hit, take a hit, and carry on. And I think that that's something that the Leafs did a better job of. I think you can frustrate the Boston Bruins. I think that Jimmy Montgomery's biggest adjustment here is not allowing his team to get frustrated. Because they're going to play hard, they're going to play heavy, and you think you can just push a team out of a game. if the Leafs play like they did in game two, especially periods two and three, you're not going to push them out of the game because they're not going to let themselves get pushed out of the game. So I think for Jim Montgomery, he's got to really be able – it can't be, oh, let's just keep doing what we're doing. He has to find a way, I think, to be able to be a little bit better in the defensive zone because they're vulnerable defensively. And they're vulnerable inside the dots and in and around their nets. Raymond played really good in game one. And there was a lot of good chances in game two. If they don't clean up some of that defensive play, I think the Leafs can take full advantage. So the adjustments I'm looking for from Boston is, are you going to be a little bit tighter defensively? And are you going to try to play through a team right now that's showing that they'll stand up to your challenges?
Craig Button, our guest, TSN's Director of Scouting. Again, Leafs-Bruins Game 3 tonight on TSN 1050, just after 7 o'clock. Huge news in the NHL yesterday, Craig, with the announcement that Thatcher Demko out for Vancouver, their Vezina Trophy-nominated goaltender. They go out and lose 4-1 to Nashville. How do you think the Canucks, if the Canucks, can adjust to losing Demko and going with Casey DeSmith here for the foreseeable future?
Well, goaltending did him in last night. Mm-hmm. Or lack of goaltending did him in last night. It wasn't good enough. You know, I said this at the beginning of the series. Thatcher Demko gives away nothing to your sorrows. Well, Casey DeSmith does, and he did last night. The Vancouver Canucks were really tight in game one. They were tight enough in game two. That to me is what you got to be concerned with right now. Is Casey DeSmith good enough? And can Casey DeSmith be able to hold it down? Based on one game, he didn't show me very much and a capability to do that. And now the Nashville has a little bit of momentum there. And the other part of it, we keep looking at Casey DeSmith. I mean, I read Steve Simmons' column on Mitch Marner, and I thought that, like, you know, he talked about Mitch wanting to be great and how he's got to show it and everything. That article could be written about Elias Pettersson. I mean, he has been a no-show for two games now, and in fact, down the stretch, he hasn't been very good. And when that down the stretch might be a month or so, he's got to be better. But I think losing Demko, like right now, like, and this might sound a little bit like Stelios doesn't even know what the NHL playoffs are about. He was great last year at the World Championships for Latvia, helping them to win a bronze medal. And I'm not so sure you don't just go with Stelios, because not knowing what the NHL playoffs are all about might work to his benefit. You're right. It might be.
Right.
Because Casey DeSmith's a backup goalie, period. And I don't think he's good enough to help the Vancouver Canucks, quite frankly. I think it's a real gut punch.
Yeah, it really is. It's very unfortunate. But I'd like to get your thoughts on if there should be some worry with the Winnipeg Jets and the way Connor Hellebuck has played through two games.
Well, after five periods, he'd given up 10 goals. That's two goals a period. And, you know, Georgiev, who'd been terrible for the last month, you know, found a way to get himself settled down. And even during the broadcast, watching the game, he looked shaky. And then all of a sudden, he didn't look shaky. And that had to be a real good sign for the Colorado Avalanche. Connor Hellebuck's better than he's played in these first two games. And, I mean, he made some good saves in the first period. He made some good saves in the second period. But, you know, it was interesting, Carlo. It was a 2-1 game for Winnipeg. Kyle Connor rings one off the post.
Off the post, yeah.
Then right away, they come right back and they make it 2-2. And then and then it's a real sloppy play by Connor Hellebuck. I mean, Trenin makes a real good play. Just like that, it's 3-2. And then Josh Manson coming out of the penalty box with less than 10 seconds left on the breakaway. And just like that, it's 4-2. It's how quickly games turn on you, you know, with the smallest of mistakes and how you take advantage of it. And I think that the Winnipeg Jets have to be a little bit more aware. Like, it was almost like the other night they were behind and they ramped it up. They get 7. I thought they got loose late in the game to make it when it got 7-6. And I think they got a little bit away from attention. The other thing I thought the Winnipeg Jets didn't do very good last night was they didn't play direct hockey. They kept shooting off their back foot from the point, no traffic in front of the net. It was almost like, okay, we'll get it and we'll get it to the net. I didn't find there was a lot of real good, strong purpose in their offensive play. And I love what Jared Bednar did. He just said, Taze McCarr, Nichushkin, McKinnon, and Rantanen, you're going to carry this third period for us. And boy, did they ever. And it wasn't even about them scoring. They just played hard, winning hockey.
Craig, a treat to have you on as always. Would love to do this again, maybe as early as next week. It happens far too infrequently. Thank you for the time.
It's always my pleasure to join you guys. You say I make your day, you make my day.
Oh, all right. Well, hopefully the Leafs can come up with a win tonight, Craig, and all of our days will be made. Maybe not so much for you, but for Carlo and I, most definitely.
I take the Leafs to win. I take the Leafs to win.
Okay, there we go. That's what I like to hear.
I'm invested in this.
All right, there fantastic. You go. Nice. We're all invested in a Leafs win. Thank you, Craig.
Thanks.
All right, that's Craig Button, TSN's Director of Scouting, Leafs Bruins tonight. Vegas, Dallas tonight, game number two as well. Dallas -175 in that game on FanDuel. They're big favorites, and Edmonton is -190 tonight against the LA Kings. So that's quite a trio of games in the NHL tonight, and they are spread out quite nicely for us. We will be at the Leafs and the Bruins. Come home and watch Vegas, Dallas, and LA Edmonton.
Oh, yeah. On my way home, hopefully this game doesn't go to overtime, but on my way home,
dude, it's definitely going to overtime tonight. I'm telling you. I'm certain of it.
On my way home, that was my plan on the GO train, that to watch 40 minutes of that game while I, ride the train to get to my car to get home.
Yeah, I just have this bad feeling. It's like quadruple overtime.
Oh,
we're at the rink. It's like 1 a.m., we're like, okay, 5 hours till the show starts. Here we
go. Yummy. Well,
it could be worse. I'm all for history. This hour, first up, brought to you by Lease Busters. They'll rescue you from your car lease. Lease Busters. Heroic maybe, helpful totally. People would love to take over your car lease. For your lease relief, go to leasebusters.com. Joe Bowen in hour number four. Can't wait to talk to the radio voice of the Leafs. You hear the game on TSN 1050 tonight. At 7 o'clock with Bonesy and Ralphie on the call. Hour 4 is next.
Formula 1 lives on TSN with every race all season long. And with TSN Plus, go that extra mile with onboard cameras, pit lane channel, and more.
Boy, is it good here.
F1 lives on TSN and TSN Plus.